Talk 2 begins here.
So Rinpoche asks everyone to begin by resembling the awakened mind of Buddha, which is the effort and wish one makes towards attaining Buddhahood for the sake of all sentient beings in number vast as space. Towards that end, one resolves to listen to, reflect, and meditate on the teachings. So it is very important to make use of the precious human rebirth one has attained, endowed with qualities such as faith, diligence, and wisdom. So one speaks of the three wisdoms arising from listening to teachings, reflecting upon their meaning, and taking up the ensuing understanding in the practice of meditation. The reason for why all three are necessary or important is that if one, in the first place, hasn't developed the wisdom arising from listening to teachings, the wisdom arising from reflecting upon their meaning will not arise. Similarly, if one hasn't developed this second wisdom arising from reflecting upon the meaning of teachings, then wisdom arising from the practice of meditation will not come about. And in addition to this, if one doesn't develop all these three wisdoms, all these three aspects, one will not be able to free oneself from samsara or cyclic existence. For these reasons, all three wisdoms are necessary or important. So all of you are very fortunate to be in this situation where you have the opportunity to listen to teachings, reflect upon the meaning, and take up the ensuing understanding in the practice of meditation in a holy place such as this, where we find what is called the three great stupas. So Rinpoche will tonight give a brief explanation on the 37 practices of a bodhisattva.
Ne ta kirtan te gerçe sancı simba namji çöba te hindo sabhin gerçe vaci yobar.
So generally speaking, the activities of great bodhisattvas are very vast and profound.
Te yena yang kam dere gerçe lalin sobdeman di kapso gerçe sancı simba ta simba namji kan lapar savam.
In these contexts, namely the text called the 37 practices of a bodhisattva, then all these vast activities, all the vast various types of conducts that male and female bodhisattvas engage in, train in, have been summarized into
37.
So in this text, advices are given that cover all situations during a day, for example, from the time that one has gotten out of bed up to when one is going to sleep. So whatever happens during the day, whether one encounters suffering or happiness, there is always advice in this text which correspond to any given situation during the day.
Chibu yungre, chibu kapsu nyamis kandir gugre, sam sen dunga chibu yungre, dunga sumu kapsu nyamis kandir gugre, sam sen kondro chibu chigre, kondro chibu kapsu kandir chibu nyamis gugre, la sopa, tene ta nyama chigla, chido kandir chibu unu yantelan dama yu.
So, as has been said, whatever situation one encounters during the day, there is always an advice in this text that through which one can learn how to deal with that situation, how to take up one's practice in that specific situation. At times, one may be in happy circumstances. In the text, advice is given that would correspond to such a situation. At times, one may be struck by great grief, there is advice for that situation too, and at other times one may be filled with great anger for that situation as well, there is advice in this text. So any given situation, advice is given that teaches how one is to relate with any given situation one encounters. So therefore it's very important to apply oneself to these 37 practices continuously.
So
these practices are not only important for beginners, they are also important for old students. So the text starts out as follows. The author then pays homage to Avalokiteshvara. So that's then the homage one pays, or the author pays, to this deity.
Kangi chukun rong is a young brother tona tick the tone zepa, Laman Chodan Jenes and Tado Gosong could be Salsa or his son.
The text continues as follows. I respectfully always pay homage with my three doors of body, speech, and mind to the Supreme Gurus and the Protector Avalokiteshvara, who through seeing that all phenomena have no coming or going, make one-pointed effort for the welfare of beings.
Then, Papa Genesi Yirmeba La Sajan.
So in this part of the text one pays homage to the gurus and Avalokiteshvara or Chenrezig in Tibetan as being inseparable.
One then may
wonder for what reason this homage is paid, what qualities one pays homage to. As the text mentioned, these are as follows. One pays homage to the guru or gurus and Avalokiteshvara, since they see that all phenomena have no coming or going, and since they, out of great love and compassion for beings, work for their welfare. So, in brief, one pays homage to two qualities, namely these gurus and Avalokiteshvara possess, namely wisdom realizing selflessness and love and compassion for beings. So ultimately, or on an absolute level, all phenomena are beyond coming and going. Then one may wonder how come there is this seeming coming and going of phenomena. That aspect is then related to the relative and deceptive truth. On that level, there is a seeming coming and going of phenomena. But ultimately, there is no such coming and going. If one considers a dream, there is a variety of appearances. One dreams of various things that seem to appear and vanish or come and go. This seeming coming and going is something experienced by the confused mind. From the viewpoint of the true nature of the dream, there is no coming or going. So the noble Avalokiteshvara has seen or perceived that ultimately all phenomena are beyond coming and going. The noble Avalokiteshvara has a direct perception of this absence of coming and going. So, even though the noble Avalokiteshvara himself has directly seen that phenomena are beyond coming and going, he works for the welfare of sentient beings out of great love and compassion for those, seeing that these beings have no such realization and therefore suffer. So it's because of these qualities that one pays homage to the guru or gurus and the noble Avalokiteshvara.
Pendin yone zoba sanje nam tamchu droble songde deyane de lalin hila ra lebe jase nam de lalin hila sa.
Then the text continues as follows. The perfect Buddhas, the sources of benefit and happiness, arise from having practiced the sacred Dharma. That arising in turn depends on knowledge of these practices. Therefore, I will explain the practices of Bodhisattvas. So the perfect Buddhas that are the sources of benefit and happiness then do not come into existence without any cause. There are certain causes and conditions that bring about their arising, namely the practice of the sacred Dharma. That arising in turn depends on a knowledge of these practices. For that reason, the author continues to say that he will in brief explain these practices of a Bodhisattva.
Tamjor tuji nika tobjulder da yin kogun tole drazese nidan tindu yerwa mebarne nyesem gombarase lalini.
Then the text continues as follows. It is a
sambu lutin shu chenpo tan drawan dini hindo nika ve lutin dini tobe tunder dagin simjin tamje sepan kamson kor dunga ji jamso le darwar sa ba ser do che do nin dang chin do yerwa me pam ni mayen ba ni sem gon ba ja se la le dan be chu nin ba nin ba tan mayen ba ti to na sem de ni kirap je tak ke yang da ba tam ba samjong kirap je ko te ni tu sam ji kirap ji du yang de ma le te gon go le ti to na nin ba da sem ba da gon ba te do na tu sam gon son se ba te ni ja se san ju se be la le ya nyam ni ji so che le so.
So, great bodhisattvas, having attained the great ship of a free and well-favored birth, that is a precious human rebirth endowed with the 8 leisures and 10 acquisitions, the birth, as was said, is like a great ship. One then, having attained this great ship of a free and well-favored birth, which is extremely hard to find, one uses that, or these great bodhisattvas uses this birth to free themselves and all others from the ocean of cyclic existence. Having realized they have attained such an opportunity, have achieved such an opportunity, they then make use of it day and night without being distracted. That is to say, they use this precious human rebirth to listen to teachings and reflect. Having listened to teachings, one proceeds to develop the wisdom of arising from reflection or reflecting upon the meaning of these teachings. That is to say, one investigates and analyzes. These two wisdoms arising from listening and reflecting are not sufficient in themselves. One also needs to develop the third wisdom arising from meditation. So bodhisattvas then apply themselves to engendering or developing these three wisdoms day and night without deviation for the sake of all sentient beings.
Sem je pinyin ki pa go na san ju sem pa domba lang sim ba yin na yang lang sim ba nam ji chang tene tam lang sim ba teni minyan ba gong ni gong ber de se roga che de tene tam be chu le tu sang gong zong zong.
So even though one may have taken the bodhisattva vows based on one's knowledge of the benefits that ensues from these vows, one needs to guard them, prevent them from deteriorating. This is then done by applying oneself to engendering the wisdoms arising from listening to teachings, reflecting upon their meaning, and taking up the ensuing understanding in the practice of meditation. There are then many different things to be trained in terms of a bodhisattva, developing him or herself on this path of a bodhisattva. The various trainings are very extensive, though they can all be summed up in these three activities of listening to teachings, reflecting upon their meaning, and taking up the ensuing understanding in the practice of meditation. If one is a person who has not taken the bodhisattva vows but desires to do so, it is also important to develop the three wisdoms mentioned, since that will provide a foundation for taking these vows. Since by developing these three wisdoms, one then will have a good knowledge of the benefits that ensue from these bodhisattva vows and what is to be trained in.
Jai sola hedang medanba landor jibu tumu munajin payur pamba jase dali.
The text continues as follows. It is a practice of bodhisattvas to give up their fatherland or attachment to their fatherland that has, like water, the fluctuations of desire towards friends, and that, like fire, has hatred towards enemies. And that has the darkness of obscuration, forgetting to adopt and discard.
Because of fire, Pamba Jase Lali is the fire.
The verse starts out saying that it's a practice of bodhisattvas to give up their fatherland. One can then actually give up one's fatherland, which is more the literal meaning. One can also understand it in the following way, namely that one gives up grasping one's fatherland as something truly existent, as something real and solid. One gives up such grasping or attachment to one's fatherland.
This
amounts to that one needs to give up attachment towards any country. The case is not that it's sufficient to having abandoned one's fatherland, but then being attached to another country. It means giving up attachment towards any country.
Yes.
Yes.
rang sem ji kyen cha se bal ten chin gre ma to yor ji chorn chen wa yo ma re.
So one is in fact fettered in cyclic existence by such attachment. So it's a question of attachment, not particularly only attachment towards one's fatherland. If there is no attachment whatsoever within one's mind, then one is able to stay anywhere in any given country.
Lander jib tomo munati nimba junsin sum je gonet ne payo pangu patemba.
So three reasons are mentioned or three things are mentioned that then give the reasons for why one should give up attachment to one's fatherland, namely that because of such attachment then there is desire towards friends. Desire in the text is spoken of in terms of water, or is the analogy of water is given in order to describe such desire. Then the text speaks of hatred, which is like a fire towards enemies, and then darkness of obscuration, due to which one forgets what to adopt and what to discard.
Tena tan, teta gujun tena sanotana, tene nije sola tamarpe hinja pangoi.
So, considering this, one should understand that it's necessary to give up ordinary attachment towards friends. So it is worldly or ordinary attachment that is to be given up, not love and compassion for friends. And one is to give up ordinary hatred towards enemies. So the text says that one is to give up hatred towards enemies. One then doesn't have to give up a seeming anger which is shown in order to benefit somebody. Rinpoche gives the example of a mother who acts angrily towards her child, but out of love for the child, but still has a loving mind towards the child. Such seeming anger is not necessary to give up. Then wisdom which does not forget what is to be adopted and what is to be discarded is very important.
Tena ta payola dena ya ni je sola tamar pe ke ja me ba dry sola ke da me ba lander je ne ma ji na ne payola dena ya degre me le ba le dena ya degre che ba ya.
So if one has no desire towards friends, ordinary desire, and no hatred towards one's enemies, and if one is free of this darkness of obscuration, which causes one to forget what is to be adopted and discarded, if one is free of all these three, then one may live in one's fatherland or any other country. Then the text continues as follows. It is a practice of bodhisattvas to resort to isolation through abandoning negative objects. The afflictions gradually diminish through the absence of distraction. The application of virtue naturally increases through clarity of mind. Ascertainment of the Dharma is generated.
So
So here in this verse, it is shown that it's necessary for a practicing bodhisattva to resort to isolation in order to be able to develop samadhi or meditative concentration. Certain benefits ensue from remaining in isolation. The verse then, as we saw, mentions some of them. The text says that in isolation, one has abandoned negative objects, which results in that the afflictions gradually diminish. And since there is no distractions, or since distractions are absent in isolation, the application of virtue will naturally increase. And in such a place, one will be able to develop clarity of mind, which results in that ascertainment of the Dharma is generated. If one has been able to assemble all favorable conditions for remaining in isolation, then it would be very good if one stays in isolation, as, for example, in the same way as Milarepa, the Lord of Yogins, did.
Tene Milarepa nagi ta do wenba tenya ke tuji manzum nayam tene dendha kaje dava kaje lo kaje tene wenba tenji chonya keda kalpa zangui.
Even though one may not be able to assemble all the favorable conditions for being able to continuously remain in isolation, it is very fortunate to be able to stay in isolation for maybe some weeks, months, or years. There are many 3-year retreat centers throughout the world, and one is very fortunate if one is able to take part in any of these or participate in any of these.
Tene tanda Europe da America kene de tsenje tene kasa kala do kan so no ge re kala no bi kene rawa kala no bi kade do kan mo bi re te ma on ba le chera so ne ma na da me do kan de de ya no.
So through the grace of Kalu Rinpoche, many such retreat centers have been established in Europe, the States, Canada, and so on. Rinpoche says it is very good to aspire to Rinpoche says it's very good to aspire to participate in any of these retreats. One should therefore pray for being able to do so. Probably all of you know about these retreat centers, but anyway, Rinpoche says he would like to mention that the first retreat center ever in the West was established in France.
Tene danda dokang tsa somba de tsa somba tsam dam yo
In that retreat center, the third retreat is taking place now. So when this first retreat center was established in Europe, most Tibetans had no faith in that Westerners that usually have a very comfortable life would be able to stay in retreat for such a long period of time. But in fact, they did, Rinpoche said, and they did so very well. There are also those that have done such retreats twice and three times. So nowadays, Tibetans have more faith in Westerners. They do believe that they are able to practice, and that they are diligent.
Is it important whether the Tibetans have faith in the Westerners being able to do so or not?
Vi ke chempu reve pe paso yi chena yi ma chena. Let him finish first. Da kare se umsan jeshe.
Te de tene ma upala te dukan de ne ya tene tuje yar do kare se ne dukan ma no ma no.
So as for the future prospects of such retreat centers, they develop in a positive direction. So it will be very good to participate in any of these retreats in the future as well. Even though one might not have opportunity to, or one might not be able to participate in such a retreat, one doesn't need to worry. One can integrate one's practice with daily activities. Many great Indian and Tibetan siddhas of the past attained realization by integrating their practice into their daily activities. So one shouldn't think that it's not possible to develop any practice outside a retreat center, because that is not the case. The text continues as follows. It is a practice of bodhisattvas to renounce this life. Long-term friends separate. The wealth and articles achieved through striving are left behind, and the guest house of the body is left by the guest of consciousness. So here, in this verse, it is taught that one needs to renounce attachment to this life. Well, one may then wonder for what reason one needs to give up attachment to this life, since life might be quite comfortable, in fact. Well, life might seem very comfortable. One may have a happy life, but this is a seeming happiness. Such happiness is not stable. That's the reason for the necessity of giving up attachment to this life. So the text continues to mention that long-term friends separate. So from that one can conclude that in fact there is no stability to the seeming happiness that one is attached to. As was said, such relationships are unstable since at one point or another separation will occur. One may be able to associate with a very close and dear friend, for example, for 100 years, but at one point or another, even though it's a question of such long-term friendship, separation will occur. It's unavoidable. Wealth and possessions as well are unstable. Since at the time of death, one must leave everything behind. So the text says that the wealth and articles achieved through striving are left behind. One has no freedom to stay with these. So, possessions and wealth are acquired through great difficulties. One has to put in a lot of effort when acquiring possessions. One has to get up early in the morning and work to late at night in order to be able to get whatever one wants to get. So, through great striving and difficulties, possessions and wealth are acquired. But when these are to be left behind, that is, at the time of the death, they are left behind very, very easily. Well, one may then come to the conclusion that if there is no benefit in being attached to friends and possessions, maybe one will be benefited by attachment to one's body. This is also not the case, since the body is like a guest house which will be left by the guest of consciousness. So one should consider these three things mentioned, and by contemplating these, develop the capacity to give up attachment towards this life. To develop the capacity or the ability to renounce attachment to this life. Thank you.
Tila yurin rupan zahi nam darwi soson darwi chuti na sam dede zahi tizu tam jiki giti uchi dhubu kuman sam yagda.
So, one should then think of what was mentioned. The first thing was that long-term friends always must separate. Having understood this, one should try to see too that the relationships one has with various friends become dharmic relationships, that one, so to speak, encourages each other to practice the Dharma. So, having thought about that wealth and possessions achieved through striving must be left behind, one should use these for the practice of Dharma. And having thought of that the guest house of the body is left by the guest of consciousness at death, one should apply oneself to virtue. One should use one's body in the practice of virtue and in the practice of purifying obscurations or evil deeds, such as practicing prostrations, circumambulations, and so forth. So if one encourages one's friends and relatives to practice the Dharma, it means that one has benefited them. And if one uses one's wealth and possessions for the practice of the Dharma, it means that one's wealth and possessions have had meaning. And if one then uses one's body in the practice of virtue, such as prostrations and so forth, it means that one's body has been made meaningful, has been of meaning to one. So, Rinpoche concludes his teaching here by this, with this verse that mentions the necessity of renouncing attachment to this life. Do you have questions? So, you can do any meditation. Most of you have probably taken instructions on shamatha, calm abiding, and many other practices, so you can choose any meditation. If you're not able to set mind within a meditative state, then you should focus on the coming and going of the breath. There is a type of shamatha or calm abiding which is called resting within the essential nature. That amounts to being able to rest within a natural state of mind, free from thoughts of the past, present, and future. One is probably not able to rest within such a state of mind for a long period of time, but that doesn't matter. it's good to be able to rest within such a state of mind just for a moment even.
Thank you.